It was said over the weekend that many inside and outside the Buccaneers organization believe Tom Brady has played his last snap as Tampa's quarterback. We'll tell you why that might be a little bit premature. Let's go.
You are Locked On Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, man? Welcome to the Locked On Bucs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. We are your daily podcast covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. We thank you for making us your first listen or view of the day. I am James Yarko, deputy editor of SB Nation's BucsNation.com, joined by my A++ co-host, Mr. David Harrison, who writes for Sports Illustrated's BucsGameDay.com. And of course, you can follow everything on Twitter at Locked On Bucs, maybe at JRCO underscore Bucs, since I can't access my Twitter account, and at DHarrison82. Real quick, David, thank you for covering Monday's episode as I was dealing with some fun outages. Appreciate you doing that for me. Thus, the extra plus in your already normal A+ co-hosting ability.
Sucking up will get you nowhere. This episode of Locked On Bucs is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Official sportsbook of the NFL is now the official sportsbook of the Locked On Podcast Network. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. Thanks again for making us your first listen or your first view every single day. Fortunately, the conversations that I have with you all out there are recorded and can be referenced when needed.
Grief.
And I don't need you to remember things accurately, unlike my co-host, who is a B++ co-host at the moment.
Wow.
Ian Rappaport said some things over the weekend, actually reported some things over the weekend about Buccaneers quarterback Tom Brady and whether or not he's going to be with the team next season. According to the report by Rappaport, one Bucs player said, quote, "I'd be surprised if he's back," end quote, while another said, quote, "He sounded like a person saying goodbye for good," end quote. James, Evan and I talked about this. I mean, I'm sure everybody observed it basically the same way. Tom Brady leaving the field, leaving the locker room in the press conference. I mean, even when as far as like thank the media, you know, which to be quite honest with you is not really an unusual, like Ron Rivera thanked everybody in the Washington Commanders beat pool before, you know, at the end of the season, and he's not getting fired. So like, you know, that's not a total, but I would say like the tone of it definitely sounded like a guy who was saying goodbye.
Yeah, that was kind of the impression that I had, too. At the same time, you could flip it and say, you know what? This is a guy that just really had to battle through a real bad season. It was his first losing record of his career. It was a tough way to go out. It was an emotional moment. And so it's easy to misconstrue him just saying thank you as kind of saying a goodbye. But that was, I agree with what you and Evan had to say on last Wednesday's episode, that did sound like him saying goodbye to the media. But you take a look at what Ian Rappaport is saying, and Bucs players in the team are sitting there saying, this feels like a goodbye. And it, you know, I'll be surprised if he comes back. And it's been well documented that Brady has a great relationship with the Glazier family. He has a great relationship with Jason Light. And now they've moved on from Byron Leftwich. Could that play into the decision that he makes? It's so early in the process that it's really hard to tell where Brady is, right? It's so early on that he kind of needs to decompress. We've seen it with Aaron Rodgers over the years where it's like, I just need to take some time and think about it. We saw it with Brett Favre for years and years. Yeah. In years, except he did it publicly instead of within the confines of his own home. So the Rappaport report didn't surprise me, but at the same time, I didn't take it as gospel either.
Right. No, absolutely not. I think, you know, and like you just said, I don't think anybody knows what Tom Brady's going to do for 2023, including Tom Brady, who on his own podcast, on his Let's Go podcast with Jim Gray did what everybody wanted him to do and asked Tom what his plans were for the future. And Tom I'm going to paraphrase here because I don't have the exact quote in front of me. He said, if I effing knew what I was going to effing do, I would effing have done it already. And it's too many effings I put in there. But you get the vibe. Basically, Tom's way of saying, I know why you asked, but I'm not going to answer the question because I don't have an answer at this time. Now, while that report basically had pretty much everybody assuming that Tom was not going to be dressing up for the Buccaneers next year, even if he is in the National Football League, Tom Pelissero, also of NFL Media, NFL Network, NFL.com, all those things, went on the Rich Eisen show and basically talked about how people close to Tom Brady believe that he is going to play in 2023 and that Tom is more open this year to returning to the Bucs than he actually was last year, which is very interesting because last year it basically seemed like a Bucs or nothing type of situation. Although we also found out about the Dolphins tampering and stuff later, which is why they don't have a first round pick. So if he's more likely to return to the Bucs this year than he was last year, well, last year he returned to the Bucs, James. So that means he's returning to the Bucs this year.
In one of the timelines of the multiverse, yeah, absolutely. He comes back to the Bucs in 2023. They win the Super Bowl. You know, the Saints are kicked out of the NFL for being a bunch of poo-poo heads, and we never hear from Cam Jordan ever again. But we don't know if that's this timeline of the multiverse, right? So it
in which multiverse is Tom Brady Hispanic teenager wearing black, so playing for the Raiders or Steelers?
One of them. I know
it's a multiverse where Brett Favre is a punter and Aaron Rodgers is wide receiver who gets drafted in the sixth round and cut in his second season to never play again.
It's probably the same multiverse where Brett Favre got traded to the Bucks instead of the Jets.
And Bill Parcells said yes. And meant it and was not a big old liar with his pants on fire.
Twice. Yeah, it look, we're gonna discuss why it makes sense for Tom Brady to return to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers if he does return to the NFL in 2023. So I put as much stock into the Pelissero tweet as I do into the Rappaport report because both of them have merit. Both of them are from guys that kind of know what's going on. And Rappaport isn't coming out and saying, look, I am hearing, I believe that Tom Brady is going to move on from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's saying, this is what Bucs players and this is what, you know, other people think, not what I think. Whereas Pelissero is sitting there saying, look, you know, people close to Brady say he's a little more open to coming back. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out, but it certainly does make a lot of sense for Brady to return to the Bucs next season.
Yeah. Look, I put equal stock in both guys. They're both very good at their job. Neither of them says anything on accident. You know what I mean? Everything they say is sourced in some way, shape or form. I will say this though. Rapport's report came at the end of the season before Byron Leftwich was fired. So if there was some sort of conflict between Brady and Byron, not even like a dislike, just like, you know, like kind of what we speculated here, Byron had more control over the offense in years past. And maybe now that he's gone in the years moving forward, Buckner say, hey, look, we're going to bring you a guy that sees things the way you see them. So even if it is more coach centric, you're talking about a coach who sees things the way that Tom sees them type of deal. That could also play a factor. I know the report about Byron being fired does not directly reflect whether or not Tom will return, but who they hire could very much reflect whether or not he returns. So that's another reason, but more reasons to come on why Tom Brady could be back with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers coming up here on the Locked On Bucs podcast. This episode of Locked On Bucs is brought to you by our friends over at FanDuel. The NFL playoffs are here, fortunately, for the football watching world. Unfortunately for Bucs fans, you don't have a direct stake, but you could get yourself a direct stake by going to FanDuel. Really excited about that new sports betting partner for Locked On because they are the number one sports book in America. So it only makes sense that they would be partnered with the best podcast network of all sports. FanDuel, if you're new to FanDuel, it's even better because they have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. New customers, you can join today and you can get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. James Yarko loves him some free bets from FanDuel. He's messaging me all the time, showing me his free bet parlays. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/lockedon. FanDuel has all your favorite bets from your money lines to point spreads to player props. Plus, you can even combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same game parlay. I love same game parlays. It's
the best.
all on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So football fans, don't miss out. Place your first $5 bet to get $150 in free bets, win or lose. So you could bet on the Chiefs to win the AFC Championship game, put $5 down. You're going to lose that bet, but you know what? You're going to win $150 anyway at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the National Football League. Roll forward with Locked On Bucks podcast. Make sure you're also subscribed to the Locked On NFL podcast. Get your daily conversations on the biggest NFL stories, like where will Tom Brady land or when Tom Brady lands. That will be, I guarantee you, one of our ugly mugs will be on the Locked On NFL podcast. Locked On NFL available on YouTube or wherever you get podcasts. James, sticking with the Tom Brady conversation, as that is the theme of today's episode, yes, there was an interesting mic'd up video of Brady that shows him trying to inspire what looks like a rather lifeless Buccaneers offense. And I think that kind of dives into, that kind of shows a little bit of what we're talking about here with whether or not Tom Brady will be back. So let's take a look at that video that came from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers themselves.
Right side, gets it off. Samuel puts it upfield. Deebo Samuel is in for the touchdown.
Go, boys. Let's go answer it now. Gonna be a dogfight. That's why we're here. Let's go, boys. Come on. You want it, you got it. It's right here. You like football, this is where you want to be. You guys got it? Gotta go fight. It ain't gonna be any easier all day. All right, let's go slug it out.
Fourth and one.
I'm one-on-one. Ready?
Here's Brady. Only a three-man rush this time. Going deep, has Evans. Wide open. He's got it. Mike Evans. Foot race.
Brady, suck it out. Oh, yeah.
There's a penalty, though, back of the line of scrimmage.
So, boys, come on. We got to go fight.
Another example of that red zone offense that just can't quite find a way to get it done.
Hey, take this stupid thing off my back. Just rip it off. It's still through there. Just take it out.
It's taped on.
I tried. Just take it.
All right. So for those of you in audio land, we love you. I really should see the video for yourself if you can. It was a part of the Buccaneers in the current series, so you can find it there, or you can just go to YouTube, check out the show. Go to about the 12, 13 minute mark of this episode and you'll find it. But basically, it's the Buccaneers playing the San Francisco 49ers about 3 weeks prior to the end of the regular season. They're pushing for a playoff spot, trying to clinch a division. And it's really just a lot of Tom Brady, I don't want to say talking to walls, you know what I mean? But he's trying to get these guys going. And a lot of these guys are just kind of lifeless, kind of looking around. I mean, there's a shot there where Brady's in the huddle kind of saying, if you love football, this is what we came to do. I'm not trying to single anybody, one person out, but like Leonard Fournette is just kind of like looking around the stadium. Like, I don't know, you know, what his mind was on. I mean, you know, it's possible to listen to somebody without looking at him. I get it, but like he's not fully engaged is basically the point there. Then they finally hit a big shot and, you know, it gets called back by a penalty, which we've seen far too often. You know, and it really is kind of a good shot inside of really kind of the mood of the team, even as they're fighting to clinch the division.
Yeah, I saw it for the first time early on Monday, and I was focusing on Tom Brady, right? He's the one that's mic'd up. That's the guy I'm paying attention to. And he's doing his usual stuff, as people heard. But then, you know, you and I have watched it a couple of times now prepping for the show, and I didn't realize that my take was going to go in this direction. But I started to focus in on Donovan Smith. And looking at Donovan Smith's body language throughout that entire video, whether it was in the huddle, whether it was there was a moment where Brady was talking to his offensive lineman on the bench, and every offensive lineman is looking right at Brady except for Donovan Smith, who's doing this, looking up, you know, to his left into the stands, into no man's land. Then it shows that touchdown pass that gets called back, and he's hyped up. He's starting to run down the field, and he's amped, and the offensive linemen are running with him, and they're pointing up, and they're excited, and there's Donovan Smith just kind of sauntering and walking. Maybe it's because he knew that he screwed up again, and, you know, why bother getting excited when I know that I just cost my team points? But yeah, his body language was absolutely atrocious in that, you know, in that clip. It was real bad. And that's why, David, you replaced him in the mock draft Monday that you had on the show yesterday.
I did indeed. Yeah, Donovan stood out to me as well. Honestly, I didn't call him out specifically. I was like, you know what? I can call out Leonard Fournette. People aren't going to think I'm just trying to jab at somebody as much. But yeah, Donovan, you're absolutely right. He stood out to me as well. And I think to plenty of other people. Here's the other part of this video that kind of caught my interest. That it was released by the Bucks. So when you go back to like HBO's Hard Knocks or like the Amazon Prime, or well, you got HBO Hard Knocks in season as well now, and then you have the Amazon Prime. Mm-hmm. I don't think they do it anymore, right? But they did. They used to do it. It was All or Nothing or whatever.
Yeah.
Like what a lot of people don't realize about those shows is that, like, yes, HBO, Amazon, whoever's doing it is there 24/7, but the team actually has to approve the release of whatever footage they're going to use. So if you see, like, you know, Bruce Arians chewing Jameis Winston's butt or something in Hard Knocks, you know, 4 years ago, not that that was actually a thing, but just as an example, like the Buccaneers signed off on that clip being shared. That's why, like, when, you know, when the Cardinals released, you know, Benjamin, and there was a whole lot of drama around it, you never saw it. Why? Because the Cardinals didn't want you to know why or what happened with, you know, Benjamin. You know what I mean? So, but not only was this approved by the team for release, but the team itself released this video. When you see videos like this get released, you always have to ask yourself why. What was to gain by releasing this video? Because as much as you might want to think that, like, team media, the NFL, whatever, they just release it because, like, oh man, fans will find this really entertaining. No. There's a message behind every single thing the NFL releases, every single thing these teams release. There is a message behind it. What I see in this video is Tom Brady trying to pump up the troops, get some energy into this team, and it really not being very effective in a losing effort. What would be the purpose of the Buccaneers releasing that imagery? Because like you said, you called out Donovan. I called out Lenny. Like, look, if you really want to get nitpicky, there's a part of there where Chris Godwin's like leaving the huddle as Tom is trying to pump up the group, hasn't even played or called the play yet. And Chris is trying to exit the huddle. Now, that could just be Chris being like, let's get to business. He's a very focused guy. Let's just get to business, get to work. You know what I mean? Not expecting the rah-rah speech. But you could even go back and say, even Chris Godwin didn't want to stand there and listen to him, you know, chant or whatever. So I just look at it and say, what is the reason the Buccaneers released this video? What message does it send? And to me, what it does, James, is it combats the Tom Brady's checked out, Tom Brady wasn't completely bought in narrative, and helps Tom Brady combat that narrative without Tom Brady actually having to come out and say, no, guys, I wasn't checked out. No, guys, I wasn't disinterested. I was in it from the jump and throughout the season. This video shows that for Tom, without Tom having to say it, defend himself, and it's the team doing it in the process.
Not only that, but as you started to say that, I started thinking, okay, what message would I take away from this? What message do I read into this if I'm Tom Brady watching, you know, these mic'd up clips of me getting my butt handed to me by my childhood team, and it's, you see the two guys that the two hosts of Locked On Bucks picked up on immediately that were not engaged, were not paying attention, that the fans are going to notice, or not engaged, not paying attention. Those two guys, you come on back, Tommy. Those guys are gone. We can save the money. Right. We can get rid of them. They're not listening to you. They're not reacting to you. They're out of here. You got Rashad White at running back. We're going to draft you a tackle. And we're going to get back to business because we love football and we're right where we want to be, but we want you to be with us as well. And look, we're going to talk about some likely destinations for Tom Brady if it's not in Tampa. But to me, it still makes the most sense if Tom Brady is going to return to football that he returns to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And you pointed out maybe the choice of the offensive coordinator is going to play into that a little bit if it's someone he's familiar with, a la a Bill O'Brien. But no matter what, for Tom Brady, there's going to be an adjustment of some sort, right? Yeah. If he goes to a different team, he has to adjust to a new coach, a new coordinator, a new system, new teammates, new players, new facility, new ownership, new everything. The only adjustment that a 46-year-old Tom Brady has to make is to a new offensive coordinator. And if it's just for a year, even if it's for 2 years, the two of them will sit down just like Brady and Byron and Bruce did and work out kind of a hybrid offense of how they want to run things. And Tom is still going to have that input. Tom is still going to have the ability to say, I want that free agent, that free agent, that free agent, that free agent. And Jason Light's going to make it work. The Glazers absolutely love him. He knows the talent on this team. He's got Mike. He's got Chris. He's got Gage. He's got Otten. He's got, you know, a defense, if it doesn't get ravaged through free agency, that is still a contending roster. There aren't a lot of situations in the NFL that he could walk into that are still as good as what the Buccaneers have. Could the coaching be an issue? Absolutely. We're not going to talk about that right now. But from a strict, you know, where is Tom Brady going to play perspective, it still, to me, makes the most sense that he is going to come back to Tampa.
Yeah, look, I've got some reasons why I think Tom should or could or even will come back to Tampa as well, and I will share them, and we will also share our non-Tampa likely destinations for Tom Brady here coming up on the Locked On Bucks podcast.
Wrapping things up here on the Locked On Bucks podcast, talking Tom 24/7 on this episode because it's the biggest topic. This is the biggest domino that can fall for the Buccaneers, whether they are still going to be contending for a playoff spot and potentially Super Bowl, or if it's full-blown rebuild mode. So, David, I laid out some of the reasons that I think it makes a lot of sense for Tom to return to the Buccaneers if he is playing football in 2023. Mm-hmm. Why do you think Brady would return to Tampa?
So here's the reason I think Tom Brady should return to Tampa is to do something he's never done before. And that is to follow up a losing season with a winning season. Tom Brady has never had a losing season as a starting quarterback in the National Football League. Tom Brady had one season where he started one game, tore his ACL in said game. The New England Patriots still won that game. So that season, he's 1-0 as a starter. Literally never had a losing record until this year. Never lost to the Atlanta Falcons until this year. Never lost to the Dallas Cowboys until this year. You know what else he's never done? Never come back following a losing season to lead that team to a winning season, playoff aspirations, Super Bowl championship run. Come back to do that. Come back. That's the only thing in Tom's legacy he's never done. He's been the sixth round draft pick that became a Super Bowl champion, MVP caliber quarterback, helped create the most winning team in two decades of football, won more championships than anybody in the National Football League. It's obviously the greatest quarterback to ever play the game. Jumped from one team to another, and that very season led them to a Super Bowl championship. Set records, set franchise records in less than 3 years of playing with a specific franchise. He has literally done everything except for come back from a losing season to create a winning season. This is your only opportunity you're going to get to do that. I don't care where he goes. If he goes to any other team, even if they had a losing record this season, that doesn't, like, you didn't take a losing team, turn them into a winner. You joined a team and they became a winner. You've already done that. This is the only chance you have to do that in Tampa Bay. That's why Tom needs to come back to Tampa Bay.
I like that. I like that a lot. It's another, you know, what do you have to prove moment? Well, I can prove this, you know, and going back.
It fits with the video, to be quite honest with you, because James, you know this as well as I do. Bucks Nation has written articles about Tom Brady not coming back. Bucks Game Day has written articles about Tom Brady not coming back. And honestly, the response from a lot of Bucks fans is good riddance.
Yeah, I don't.
Thanks for your service. And I kind of do, because I mean, how many tears are you supposed to cry over a mercenary? You know what I mean? That leaves you. I get it to a certain extent. But at the same time, this is still the greatest quarterback to ever play. And I would argue that Tom's ability did not wane. What waned was Tom's confidence in the offense, confidence in the offensive line. Fix those two things through a new hire that not necessarily is picked by Tom, but definitely picked with Tom in mind, I would say, and fix the offensive line through getting healthier, getting some new guys in, even drafting maybe, say, a left tackle from Georgia. And you bring that confidence back along with some of those weapons. You're always finding explosive wide receiver options in third, fourth rounds these days. Go there, get another guy. The rumor that Rob Gronkowski might come back next year to play with Tom if he stays, that if that's true, well, then it's Tampa. You know what I'm saying? So you get Gronk back to play with Otten. I mean, there's a lot of things that could definitely spin out here. But yeah, to me, that's the biggest reason. It's kind of like the Sean McVay thing. It's always easy to lead when things are going great. Tom has never had the ability to show that even though things didn't go great, We're going to come back, bounce back, and we're going to do this thing right. I mean, honestly, the closest thing he's had to adversity outside of this is losing a wild card game on a pick six. And let me tell you something, there's a lot of NFL quarterbacks who would love for that to be the biggest down, the biggest downside of their career, losing a playoff game on a pick six. You know what I mean? So yeah, that's my stance on it.
Well, let's take a look, David, at what if he doesn't come back to Tampa? What if he says, you know what? I had a great 3 years in Tampa. I had a lot of fun. You know, I love my teammates there. I love the organization and what they provided for me, but I want to try something new. You know, while I still can, I want to experience another team before I retire. And I'm going to one up Peyton Manning again, and I'm going to be the first quarterback to win a Super Bowl with three different teams. Where do you see him? You know, what do you see as likely destinations for Tom Brady outside of Tampa Bay?
So the first destination outside of Tampa that I'm going to pick is the Tennessee Titans. And I know this is one you have the biggest problem with. I've got to give credit, though, to Devin McCourty, former New England Patriot. Well, as of right now, maybe former New England Patriot free agent, to be former Tom Brady teammate, three-time Super Bowl champion, in large part due to Tom Brady's abilities. He actually brought up on Good Morning Football, I think, or NFL Game Day Morning, I can't remember, one of the NFL Network shows, the Titans. And he mentioned, kind of in concert with Tom Pelissero's report, that he's looking for something kind of familiar. Well, Tom and Mike Vrabel go way back. Tennessee is still on the East Coast. It's not, you know, it's not Florida. It's not New York. It's kind of in the middle. So he's within spitting range of his family. So I think that's going to be important in this whole equation. But you also look at, they've got a very good defense that could get even better in the offseason. They've got a very good running game. They've got a first-round draft pick in Treylon Burks. I wasn't 100% sold on him, right? But they've also got another first-round pick this year they could take. They could go and use that to get maybe Jaxon Smith-Njigba out of Ohio State, or some of these other receivers, or maybe even go later and if they deem it that way. You could go offensive line in the first round to help secure that front for Tom, or defense to even give him a better unit. The Tennessee Titans, they're not Tom Brady away like the Bucs were, I think, in 2020. But having Tom Brady and making a few key moves, and maybe going Los Angeles Rams with things, the thing, say F them picks, let's get some players. They could, and again, if Gronk comes back and joins the Titans with him, I mean, that's a very dangerous team there in the AFC, even though the AFC itself is still very dangerous.
Yeah, trade away that first round pick and go get you DeAndre Hopkins. I'm not gonna, you know, I don't want to get into a backcourt. I don't think the Titans are a likely destination, but that can be a conversation for another day. I'm just going to move on to my number one team, and it's the obvious one, right? It's the San Francisco 49ers. They are a Tom Brady away. They have made it to the NFC Championship six out of the last 11 years. And you are a Tom Brady away from breaking through, right? They are working some magic with Brock Purdy. And I was very, you know, anti the idea of Brady going to San Francisco. You and I have discussed it before. And I just said, from a franchise standpoint for the 49ers, it does not make any sense. You traded away all this draft capital to get Trey Lance. If you bring in Brady to be the mercenary, the you know, hired assassin to go win a Super Bowl, you have to get rid of Trey Lance. You cannot bench him for another season. You already benched him his rookie season. Then he starts to get his opportunity and he gets hurt. You can't leave him shelved for a third year because you bring in Tom Brady. You have to trade him. And maybe they're fine with that. Maybe they're like, you know what? Rings are hard to come by. We have been to six conference championships in the last 11 years, and we have zero rings to show for it. We need one. And best of luck to Trey. We can get a little bit of draft capital back. We still got Brock Purdy waiting in the wings, and we can bring in Brady for a year, who's got Debo and Brandon Ayuk and George Kittle, and you can bring Gronk with you. And, you know, you got, you know, CMC and Elijah Mitchell, and the best, arguably the best defense in the NFL. It would make a ton of sense. And that's the childhood team, the boyhood dream. And I know Rick Stroud has said before that the Niners had two opportunities of Brady. They, you know, didn't take him either of those times. And so that bridge is burnt. I'd say at this stage, if you're playing one more year and you want a ring, the San Francisco 49ers make the most sense of any team.
It's funny because literally 2 weeks ago, I was pounding the table for Tom going to the San Francisco 49ers. I even went as far to go on a 49ers podcast and tell them that I thought Tom Brady would probably end up with the 49ers. But now I think this report from Pelissero that Tom is looking for familiarity. And I think that the fact that he is trying to be near family and, you know, remember Giselle, like I know she's got houses in Los Angeles, but she's still got a house in New York and in Florida. And I think that they're serious about this whole friendly co-parenting situation. And I think East Coast is the answer, which is why my second team kind of steals from your second team, but I get to go first. So everybody's going to think that you stole from mine. So I'm going to say it first. I'm kind of stealing from James's next team when I say the New York Giants. Here's the reason I say the New York Giants. Daniel Jones ain't it. And I know that the Giants did better with Daniel Jones this year, but Daniel Jones ain't it. Tom Brady in that offense with Saquon Barkley immediately makes them better. That team already won double-digit games this year, got into the playoffs, arguably the best, you know, football division in the National Football League this year. The NFC is still the weaker of the two conferences. So I think if you're Tom Brady and you're looking for an opportunity to run for a championship, going to the Giants makes a lot more sense than going anywhere else. They can get, you know, Sterling Shepard, hopefully he gets healthy. They've got draft capital they can spend on positions to help you get an even better team around you. They're obviously going to have to address the wide receiver position. Again, if Gronk comes back, that solves a lot of problems all by itself. Andrew Thomas was a bust coming into this season. All of a sudden, he's one of the best tackles in the National Football League, apparently. Brian Daboll has shown that he has the ability in just 1 year's time to take a lot of problems and turn them into production. So now imagine if you have a quarterback that can do the same on top of it and you bring in some other weapons. I mean, it's a very attractive scenario. And again, it's on the East Coast. It's close to family, all those things. And it keeps him in the easiest conference in the NFL right now.
Would even the biggest Brady haters and skeptics acknowledge his undeniable goaty greatness if he were able to revive Kenny Golladay into a viable receiver?
I don't even think Kenny Golladay will be there. But yeah, I mean, if he were able to revive Kenny Galladay's career, he would absolutely. But also don't forget, the Giants have had Tom's number.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? Throughout his career. So you can't beat him, join him. This would be that exact type of scenario. And how much would it put Giants fans on their heads to have to come in here and now cheer for Tom Brady? And like I said, and honestly, it gives you an opportunity as a New York Giants where if you're not sold on Daniel Jones, which they should not be, you don't have to come into this offseason. You're not in a position to get one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL draft. So do you mortgage your future to go get one and hope that he's not a bust? Or do you take Tom Brady? Maybe you make a good push. Maybe you get a ring out of it and you can come back next year. And now you've got a better nucleus. So now if you need to go all in to trade up to get, you know, that quote unquote franchise quarterback next year, now you've got a much better base around that quarterback to install them.
Well, as you alluded to, my final team is also kind of in that same realm. And this is a team that I brought up to you a little while back when I was still poo-pooing the 49ers. You know, when everyone was talking about, oh, Tom will be back next year, but not for the Bucs. He's going to go to the 49ers or he's going to go to the Raiders. And yeah, I mean, I guess the Raiders do have that familiarity that Pelissero talked about and that you've brought up because of the connection with Josh McDaniel. But I mean, weapons wise, meh, you're better off in Tampa. But I had mentioned the New York Jets would make a lot of sense because, I mean, you got Garrett Wilson, Tyler Conklin, CJ Uzomah, Breece Hall, who could have been offensive rookie of the year at the rate that he was going had he not gotten hurt. You know, Elijah Moore is sticking around. If you bring in Tom Brady, you have arguably the best corner in football coming off of his rookie season in Sauce Gardner. Former teammate Jordan Whitehead is there. CJ Mosley, Quincy Williams, look, you have a really, really good, young, talented offense. You have a really solid defense. Again, you bring Gronk with you to the Big Apple. Now, all of a sudden, this Jets team is incredibly talented. They're very formidable. Oh, and by the way, forget about Josh Allen. Forget about Joe Burrow. Forget about Patrick Mahomes. Forget about the big, rough and tough AFC. You get to stick it to Belichick twice you get to go up against that man and tell me that wouldn't be a motivating factor for Tom Brady. Yeah.
And for anybody saying he wouldn't do that, he almost went to the Dolphins. So he absolutely would 100% do that. Yeah, look, I think the Raiders are an attractive option for everything you mentioned, and the familiarity with Josh McDaniels is there. I really think he's looking to stay on the East Coast. I think being close to family, being able to be close to his kids, especially with Giselle, kind of like staying in Florida and doing that whole thing, like I really think that matters. Doesn't mean he's outside of, you know, Florida is just off limits, but I think East Coast is really where you stick. So the two New York teams, Tennessee, to me, they make the most sense. Washington, from like a pure roster standpoint, very good defense, weapons on offense, could get better on the offensive line with draft capital, makes all the sense in the world. I don't think Tom Brady wants to handle the baggage that comes with being a Washington Commander these days, and I don't think anybody would really blame him. So if you go through the East Coast teams, really, I mean, to me, those are the only options. That's why I left the Raiders off of my list. I know they came up, but yeah, I think if Tom doesn't go back to Tampa, it's still going to be an East Coast team. And I think that we pretty much nailed the most likely candidates from the East Coast options. I also don't put away the idea that him and Sean Payton want to give it another go. I kind of jokingly made the comment on Twitter, Marcus Mosier, host of Locked On Cowboys, didn't bite, unfortunately, but I kind of jokingly said, trade Dak to the New Orleans Saints for Sean Payton, sign Tom Brady and go from there. I think everybody would vomit a little bit in their mouths if they saw Tom Brady wearing a Cowboys uniform, but you know, it kind of is what it is, but it'd be fun to see all those Cowboys fans suddenly become lovers of Tommy Brady.
Go to Detroit and team up with MCDC and and just wreak havoc. You go up there for 1 year and win the Super Bowl with the Detroit.
Throw everybody curveball. You don't know anybody there. It's not the West or the East Coast, and they're not a Super Bowl contender yet. But you know,
hey, how dare you?
How dare you? And I will say this about the San Francisco 49ers, though. You say that they can't let Trey Lance sit another year. I disagree. I think they absolutely, for Tom Brady, I think you absolutely could let Trey Lance sit for another year. What I think the 49ers will do, however, is draft, and I'm not saying this name just for namesake, but like Stetson Bennett, you know, like a fifth, sixth round rookie quarterback this year, and then let Trey and Brock Purdy fight it out next year, use the rest of their draft capital to bolster the rest of their units and go with a quarterback on a rookie contract one way, shape, or another.
Interesting. Interesting. Well, we will see how it all plays out. Of course, plenty of speculation to continue putting forth until Tom Brady decides what he's going to effing do, and then he'll effing tell everybody what he's effing doing. And I'm going to ask Evan Kolosky his thoughts on it on tomorrow's episode, WTSP Wednesday, here on Locked On Bucks. We want to thank you for making Locked On Bucks your first listen or view of the day. Now, make sure you check out Locked On NFL, bringing you the biggest insights you love to the national spotlight with daily conversations on the biggest NFL stories. Locked On NFL, available on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Of course, you can check out everything David is doing over at BucksGameDay.com. Check out my work over at BucksNation.com and follow everything on Twitter at Locked On Bucks, at JRCO underscore Bucks, and at DHarrison82. Hope you all have an absolutely outstanding day. Stay safe, stay healthy, fire the cannons. We thank you so much for joining us right here at Locked On Bucks.